Rav Albert talks about what he calls teshuva basisis, basic teshuva. We spoke about 2 weeks ago. A person, hopefully through a Shoshana, if he lets the words of the tefillah talk to him, he allows himself to feel the emotion, the excitement of Rosh Hashanah, the simcha, the Kadosh Baruch Hu who created the world, who created him, he has a relationship with his creator. The person should hopefully, if that works, have created himself a desire, a taiva, that he wants to be a different person. There's many of us that think about a relationship which a person has a relationship with someone that they love, someone that they care for, especially when that person represents something to them, a parent. And there's a certain natural instinct which connects us to that. We should have that natural feeling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu also. It should be natural. A person shouldn't sit there and talk in Shemoneh Esrei, and he shouldn't have to fight the words that, you know, to focus, or fight the words to believe in them, or fight the words to feel inspired by them, to feel the warmth that a Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to give him. We shouldn't have to fight that. The reason why we do is because the Baruch Hu says if we would allow that natural instinct to take place, there'd be no Bechira anymore. We do everything obviously very easily. So the Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara to make it hard, but we have to understand that we're fighting with something which Rav Albert writes a fascinating thing. He says the philosophers of the world have grappled with the presence of does Kadosh Baruch Hu really exist? Does he exist? Is he interested in this world? Not interested in this world. Aristotle, these great minds have grappled with it. And we're expecting there's a mitzvah amunah that applies to every bar mitzvah bacher. 13-year-old bacher, he's bochi of a mitzvah amunah. So we're expecting that our average bar mitzvah bacher can beat out Aristotle. And the answer has to be that it's something which is so obvious and so natural to us that shouldn't be a problem. The problem is there's a shaykhad. There's a shaykhad, there's a yetzahara which comes along and says, it creates this picture of the world. We hope that for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah we're able to sort of step out of the yetzahara's picture. For Sesem Yitzhuva, we're hopefully we're able to take that. And we saw what it's supposed to look like, what it's supposed to feel like. And we let the tefillah talk to us, and it connect. So we say, you know what? I like this. This feels good. A person comes after Yom Kippur and he says, you know what? It really felt good. It really felt good to feel connected to my neshama. Really felt good to feel like this is where I would like to be. That lack of conflict in his mind. There should be a simcha that the person has. You know, this is such a warm place. So, okay, what does that mean to me? What does it mean to me? What am I willing to pay for it to make it happen? Right. We pay certain things. You pay for them in different currencies. Certain things you pay for in money. The goals of what we want to accomplish with our life, we don't pay with money, we pay with effort. How much is it worth to me? So I said, learning is important to me. Fine. But if it means get up in the morning, I'd rather sleep in. So you made a statement, how important the learning is to you. We had a bacher here in the shiva one time, and he was holding towards the end of his tenure here in yeshiva. He was leaving in the middle of the year, been here for about a year and a half, and he was going on to college and to work, etc. So he had the last few days left in yeshiva, his last opportunity to really spend some time in yeshiva. So he picked up and he went for a ski trip for a week. It was his last chance to really have a real ski trip. So I said, you made a statement, what's important to you? He said, I really like learning. I know you really like learning, Baruch Hashem, but you have to say you made a statement with your feet of what it's worth. So, but the if you can ask yourself the question, why is my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch with Hashem important to me? Why is it important to me? Okay, so then we can get possibly with the next question is what thoughts that I can I generate in my mind which will help me feel compelled to return back to Him? If I've decided it is important to me and decided that I do feel it and I do relate to it and it does talk to me and it does give me that feeling of warmth and security. The problem is I get confused along the way with the Yetzer Hara. So what can I do? What can I do? What thoughts can I train myself to think about which will help me keep focused and keep that balance in my mind of what's really important to me? That taper that I showed you 2 weeks ago, he throws it out in a phrase. He says, how would you characterize your dream relationship with Hashem? How would you characterize it? What would you like it to look like? What would you like yourself to look like? Your emotions vis-a-vis a Kadosh Baruch Hu to look like? Your feeling of what He gives you to look like? What would you like that to be? Make yourself, Christ uses the lesson, make yourself hungry. Make yourself hungry for that. If I could picture that and say, wow, that really be geschmack. Okay, how hungry are you for it? How much are you willing to pay for it? I would like this fancy dinner. It makes me hungry, but I'm not willing to pay the price tag of $100 for the meal. Right? So I'm not that hungry for it. You have certain people that they're very hungry. They're very hungry for accomplishment in life, whether it be financial or status. And they're willing to pay the price, whatever it is. And certain people rather sleep. I'm in the second group. Some people, their nature is they're driven and etc. Some people, you know, I'd rather chill out, cool, etc. But this, that being said, there are things which motivate me and get me going. So how can I create that thought process of how hungry am I to have that relationship with the Kodesh Baruch? If you can picture that, well, now that I have a dream relationship, how would that make me look different? How would I act the way I want to act? How would I feel better about myself? If I'm 5 years down the road, I'm 10 years down the road, I'm the person that I want to be, how would I feel about that? What is that picture that I have, and how would I feel about that? And if I can get to the point where I feel very, very excited about that and very, very good about that, that can motivate me and help me keep focused to get to where I have to get to. Now, there's a very dangerous weapon that the Yetzer Hara has. It's called Dimyon. Dimyon is a very fascinating thing. Imagination, fantasy. One of the Rishonim uses a lashon, he says, Dimyon is when the mind becomes the tool of the body. And dimyon can be used in one of two ways, both of them which are not healthy. One of them, which most people think about dimyon, the fantasizing, etc. They fantasize their dreams of riches or of pleasure or whatever it is, etc. And they're busy focusing on that as opposed to focusing on what they're supposed to be doing. You don't need me to tell you that. That's not a smart idea. But there's another type of dimyon which is much more challenging. Rabbi Yochum says a fascinating thought. Says Chazal say like this. Chazal say that a person should be a more ma'atav say harbe. Says like Avram, he was said a little and he did a lot. Avram said to the malachim, "Come, and I'm going to give you something to eat." Well, Bakar Rotz Avraham, and he ran and he gave them. You know, Chazal say he gave them lasharnas, pechardol. He gave them like the most choicest meats. Three animals, he shechted, each one got their own special tongue. He offered them bread, they got some ice. He said very little, he did a lot. And not like Ephron, the Ephron said a tremendous amount. He offered the whole thing for free, and he ended up charging him. That's how he charged him. He charged him a high price. Not only charged him a high price, he charged him a high price. Chazal said it was like the largest scrollum that you could ever dream of, because like any place in the world they would accept those as scrollum. That's how big they were. And what happened? Ephraim really sounded like a really nice guy. He's offering the whole thing for free. So Chazal said, not like Rishoyim, which they say a lot and do nothing. So Biruchim gave a mashal. The mashal is, a person pictures a pressure cooker. Pressure cooker, because it's very tight sealed, it keeps the steam, most of the steam in. So the temperature can go actually above 212, and it cooks much more quickly than the regular cooking. It's very strong. The problem is there's a lot of steam in there. Steam is very, very expansive, very powerful. It can blow the lid off. So there has to be an escape valve to let some of the steam out. Now, that escape valve is too large. So all that steam, which is what you use as the energy to be able to power the whole process, is always going to escape through this escape valve. You end up with nothing, a regular pot. Person has a steam engine, right? Person has an engine, his mashal is a steam engine, right? So what is it? You build up the steam inside, it's very, very strong. The boiler is very, very thick, walls very strong to keep the steam inside. And this way, the steam moves around and moves the engine and makes it happen what it's supposed to happen. You make an escape valve. The valve is too big. All the steam goes out to the valve, and that's the end. Your engine doesn't go anywhere. So the person gets all excited. He's going to do something, and he really believes in it. He really wants it, and it's really valuable to him, and he pictures it in his mind. This is what he wants to do. And he starts talking about it. So all that energy which he developed and all of that excitement is being expended by talking about it. By the time he's finished with the talking about it, and talking about it, and talking about it, he has no more energy left to do it. So he goes back to sleep. That's Ephraim. Avram understood that and says, I better not talk too much. I offered this, and let's see what I can do. Take my energy towards doing it. So the Yetzirah comes along and says, listen, you know, you're taka really motivated. And he understands he's not going to stop you from that motivation. You really are hungry. You really have this dream, and you really have this desire, and you're really into it, and you're ready to go. So he says, it's not going to stop him. Reingold's excited. See, you start picturing what it's going to look like when you're there, and you start spending so much time fantasizing about how much it's going to look like, and you talk about it, and it's so geschmack, and next thing you know, you never did it, because you're busy fantasizing about it instead of doing it. So the Dimyon, it's a fascinating thing. A person, Rizal Pliskin writes this in one place, it says, it's a fascinating thing that human minds can conjure up a picture. His example, he was talking about the feeling of COVID. I can picture myself standing in front of the stadium and getting the ovation, and I can picture it so vividly, I can enjoy the COVID even though I never got it. That's how powerful our mind is. It's obviously pity. It's pitiful. That we take our mind, that we spend our mind picturing up the picture as if we did it already, to the point of, wow, I feel good about myself already. I'm so committed. I'm going to learn this year, and I'm going to be gevaldik, and I feel so good about it, etc. He never does it. He doesn't have to do it. He can just picture it in his mind. It doesn't work like that. That's the Yetzirah's cops that I can't turn you off. The other way the Yetzirah does it, we had an interesting hanhaga and tells. Right? The yeshiva had a mikvah. So the yeshiva, when they built a new dorm, when they built the new dorm, when it was being built, so there was a few chassidus shabachim there who had attended the yeshiva at that point in time. One was the Mukacha, which is the present Mukacha Rebbe, so his father was the Mukacha Rebbe at that point in time, and the speaker Rebbe, again, his father was the speaker Rebbe at that point in time. There was a yid who was in the succession for the commander of a lot of chassidus yid shabachim, you know, at that point in time. And there was no mikvah on premise for men. So once a week, we schlep to the city mikveh to use for the Erev Shabbos. But Chassidus Shayin, he wants to have a mikveh every single morning. So the speaker Rebbe came to Ramotel Katz, Rosh Hashiva, and asked him if he would build a mikveh in the dorm. When they'd be building the new dorm, they should put a mikveh for men in the basement. So Ramotel Rosh Hashiva said, no, eventually he agreed to do it, but on the condition that the mikveh is locked, and the bachrim who are supposed to use it, that's their minig, will get a key. So the mikvah was erev Shabbos was open, but the rest during the week it was locked, and only the bacher who had that minig would get a key. So remember one time a bacher was complaining to me. I mean, I was already a young man. He was a bacher, but you know, two or three different in age. Like, what's wrong? The guy was going to mikvah. Like, what's wrong going to the mikvah? Like, why do they have to keep the mikvah locked? Now the mikvah is always open. So I said, you know, I would suggest the following pshat. So I can't tell you what the Rishiv is, but I would suggest the following pshat. When the guy wakes up and he has a hira tshuva, a real bona fide hira tshuva, like the Mora says, a hira tshuva is a phenomenal thing. That a man's mekadosh and isha manas, that he's a tzaddik, even though he's a Rosh Hagomer, you're chayish in the kedushin. Maybe he's mahar b'tshuva. He didn't do vidui. He didn't do aziv b'sechet. He just was mahar b'tshuva. Mahar b'tshuva made him from a tzaddik into a Rosh into a tzaddik. That's a powerful hira tshuva. The guy wakes up and he really says, you know, this is not acceptable. I'm not happy with myself. I don't like myself like this. I got to change. The Yetzirah is sweating bullets. Says, this guy's really serious. I'm not going to convince him not to do it. The guy's really serious. So Yetzirah says, I'm not going to, I got to do something. I got to stop him. That's my job. So what's he going to do? He said, don't do it. The guy, he's going to bowl over to Yetzirah and go right to do it. Yetzirah says, listen, I have a great idea. Don't work on Bittul Torah. Don't work on Shemir Saloshin. Don't work on Shemir Shabbos. He's stockless Asuras. Go to the mikveh every morning. It's such kedusha, such maila, it's such tzidkis, such a gavaldik gazach. You'll feel so good about yourself, and you'll really be so. Go to the mikveh every morning. The guy says, "Yeah, mikveh, gavaldik." The Yetzer says, "Ah, Baruch Hashem." Why mikveh? I had a guy here in yeshiva that, you know, came to me. He really wants to putting on wearing a gartel. It looked like gartel. I mean, I'm looking at gartels. You know, it's a beautiful. I can give you a whole murach why it's important to wear a gartel. How about shemir storim? How about being on time for davening? How about being careful with what how you talk to your chaverim? How about real stuff? Gartel, that's your problem. That's the issue you need to address in your life. Gartel, really? That's what you need to do. Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that the person really wants to change. He doesn't believe he can do it, or he's scared to do it. He's scared what he might look like at the end. I might look like somebody that I'm not used to. So instead he comes up with gartel. That's the other way the Yetzer does it. He understands that you have a dream. You have a dream. You want to be closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Elul. And either doidi b'doidi li, you punch it. The Baruch Hashem is there and you taste him and he tastes good. Seshma Tshuva is the most wonderful time of the whole year. Yom Kippur is the most beautiful day of the year. It's so geshmak. You taste the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he knows he's not going to stop you. He just has to divert you. Either by making you dream about it, and you dream so much you never do it, or by diverting you into something which isn't really where you should be focused. Chazal say a fascinating lesson. So I'll say, "V'atoy Yisrael, ain't v'atoy l'tshuva." Now means tshuva. Now, the word now, that means tshuva. Don't think about the past. Don't think about, I have not been able to do this until now. I'm not such a good guy. I'm such a horrible guy. I'm so this, I'm so that. Oh, I'm such a good guy. I don't need it. Forget about the past. The plans for the future, wow, I'm going to be this. I mean, it's such a big tzaddik. Don't think about that either. Just do it now. Live in the present. Make it happen now. Make now and today a different day. And tomorrow will be tomorrow. You'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. And forget about tomorrow. Make now this hour of Seder a different hour. The hour later, you'll deal with an hour later from now. I cannot sit for 3 hours straight. So don't sit for 3 hours straight. Sit for an hour. Then sit for an hour. Then sit for an hour. But I can't. I start thinking about three. I can't handle 3 hours. So I'm not, I need to. So why are you thinking about 3 hours? Why are you dealing with right now? Why are you dealing with the minute? This minute I can sit. I mean, lahavdil. I don't say in the same breath. Studies have been shown that the person can give the person an intense pain. But if he understands that it's only going to last for a moment, he can handle it. Extremely intense pain, he can handle it for a moment. Well, isn't life a lot of moments strung together? The reason why we can't handle it for a longer time, because the mind starts thinking about, wow, I can't handle it for so long. It's such a big problem. Every young man I'm dealing with say he has issues with anxiety. So I told him, of course you have anxiety. You deal with issues. He says, if I would have to sit here and worry about all the issues of the whole coming year in 1 minute, I'd also go out of my mind. I cannot deal with the pressure of a whole year's worth of issues in what condensed into 1 second. It's so overwhelming, you go out of your mind. So the answer is deal with this second now and deal that second then. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. See, Sarah says, that's not good because then he'll talk and do it. So let's worry about tomorrow. You know, I cannot keep this up. I have the real tshuva, I have the honest tshuva, I have the emes tshuva, and I can handle it tomorrow, so I'm not going to do it today. I'm such a big tzaddik. I worry about the future. Shkayach. V'atah. Do it now. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. Halavai tomorrow should be good. It won't be good, it won't be good. What do I do today? Why am I sabotaging hayoim because of lemocher? Today I'm going to learn. This minute I'm going to learn. This hour I'm going to learn. The next hour, either I will or I won't. I'll deal with that then. So the Yetzirah, it comes along with them. Hey, you have to have a plan. You have to have a dream. You have to have a picture. You have to have a goal. You have to have a da da da. And he has all these good lines that all the rabbis say about the Shmuzit, you know. So this must be true. And so we have a paradox. I'm asking you to dream. I'm asking you to taste the flavor and say, wow, I want this. I want this. I want to look like a different person a year from now. I want to come to Chav Tes Elul, Tavshin Ayin Hey, looking like a different person than I am Chav Tes Elul, Tavshin Ayin Tav. I really want to be a different person. What would I like to look like a year from now? What would I like to look like 5 years from now? I want you to think about that and dream that. I don't want you to think. I want you to have a hunger for that. That's what I want you to do. It should be so geschmack to you, this hargosha of the feeling of now, that if it feels good now, I would like more of it. She told you over Shira Khan set up shop. Jerob Kleinstein, the Dilly Rabba, tells Rosh Hashiva. I was once by him as Chol Moed Sukkos, came in, and I asked him a question. Rav Dessler writes, they have Mechtavim from Rav Dessler, and he writes over there, towards the beginning of the Sefer, that his Talmidim asked him, he doesn't understand Pshat in the Bracha, you say V'Sabeinu Mitzuvecha, you say it every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. What's Sabeinu Mitzuvecha mean? We should be full of your Tov. So what type of Tov are we talking about? Tamagashmi is? That's what we're davening for. Tarli ben alotu chabemes. Kach shenem mitzusecha v'sech lachinem asurasecha. And geshmak ha-toiva. No, mistama not. You know, a lot of money. A lot of food. A lot of, like, you know, no. And Sabeinu, we should feel full from it. No, mistama not. Selamai means ruchnius. What do you mean Sabeinu Mitzuvecha? Sabeinu Mitzuvecha? I want to be full? I want more and more and more and more and more. So what does it mean with Sabeinu Mitzuvecha? So Dester says that Tamina asked him, he says he didn't have a clear answer. So I threw out the Rashi of Gaim and said, well, let's see what he would say. So he tells me, on the spot, person eats a piece of chocolate cake. And he likes chocolate cake. He says, geschmack, a feeling of chocolate cake in his stomach. What happens? What happens after that? He wants more. That's what Sabeinu Mitzuvecha. I should have such a good feeling from it. It should fill me up. And I should feel so satiated and so geschmack. Not that I'm done. Potter, give it. I want another one. But imagine my friend, if he's busy thinking about, you know, I like chocolate cake, so I need to get chocolate cake for today and for tomorrow and for the next day and after. We have to work on getting chocolate cake. How do you get chocolate cake? What's a good chocolate cake? I can eat so much chocolate cake. I feel sick of eating so much chocolate cake. He's busy intellectualizing chocolate cake. Just eat the cake and enjoy it. And you know what? It'll happen tomorrow. Later on, you say, I'll do it again. That's Ein Dator L'Tshuva. Do it now and enjoy it. If you do it now and enjoy it, you'll enjoy it a minute from now also. But if you're busy worrying about what's going to be and how it's going to do and what's going to be the picture, it's never going to happen. So we have that, the goal is to say, I have that picture of what I want, and it's so compelling, it's so geschmack, it's so desirable, that I want to do it now. If I want to do it now, I really want to do it now, I want to do it a minute from now also. I want to do it an hour from now. I want to do it tomorrow. I guess our litmus test will be, a person has that geschmack during Rosh Hashanah. It really has that geschmack. It's so nice to daven. It's so geschmack to daven. So geschmack to talk to your creator. You know what it means? A human being could talk to his creator. Is there any more geschmack a feeling than talking to the creator? That you can mamash feel his presence. You're with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When the Kodesh Kodashim, the Ben Yonah says, you're standing in the Kodesh Kodashim with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Is there any greater feeling the human being can feel? You really enjoyed it? So you should want it the next day also. You should want to wait. You should wake up and say Gedalia, Shabbat Shuva, say, I want to do it again. That was chocolate cake. I can eat another piece of chocolate cake. Okay, kokosh cake. We'll say right? That was kokosh. I can eat another piece of kokosh cake. I'm this ball. You know, the bochum comes. You know, my wife makes sure serves the same dessert every Friday. Every time the bochum comes, and I have never heard a guy come. You know, I don't like kokosh cake. I've never heard it happen. I had enough already. I want something else. It's working stick enough that you can, you know, that you know you can really, like, you know, stick to it. So the goal of Rosh Hashanah, is to let the words of Tefillah talk to you. Let the shofar talk to you. Let the hispanus of the day talk to you. Feel it, taste it, live it. You know, you can sing the song, you can bang the bang, and you can do the tune because, like, you enjoy music. I also enjoy music. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Do because I enjoy the excitement. I'm standing singing to my Creator. I'm using the music of our Atzibra together, coming in the praise of our Creator. That today is the day which He created the world. He created man. He came to make a connection to human beings. And there's no beautiful, more beautiful day than that. I feel that geschmack. Let the words of davening talk to you. If it means you daven quickly, daven quickly. If it means you daven slowly, daven slowly. I told you I had a chaver that. He used to daven very quickly. And, you know, I used to daven very slowly. You see, always, you know, what's better? That was the argument. He says, listen, I hold the bets, and there's two sheets. You give a kid an ice cream cone. There's two sheets how to eat an ice cream cone. Some kids lick it, and they savor the lick, and they eat another lick, and they savor that lick, and they go one by one, slowly, lick after lick after lick. Some kids gobble it up in like one gulp, because it's so geschmack. It's the same thing with davening, he said. Some people, the push davening is so geschmack, they gobble up the whole thing in one gulp. And some people savor every lick. Now, I'm not sure the analogy is perfect when it comes to davening. At least maybe I'm the gay, but I don't know. But let the davening, if a word of davening talks to you, don't run away. Don't be scared of it. It doesn't bite. Let the word talk to you. Whatever the word is. Be it Zakhein Elachayim. Be it Melech. And picture that picture. I like this. I want to see if I can do this. I like to look like this a year from now. I like to look like this 5 years from now. I like that when I'm a father, I should be able to give over this geschmack to my kid. So my child should also have a hargosha and what tefillah is. Hargosha, what it means, a mitzvah. Hargosha, what it means, learning. I wish my kids had that. I wish I could give that message to my child. I want to be that person who lives like that. Because I want to be like you. Dream the dream. But don't waste your energy thinking about, well, I'm going to... And then eat it. Do it again. Do it again the next day. Saras HaMetshuva, we should have a problem. The reason why they put that sign on the glass. The only reason why they put that sign on the glass over there is because Betzim... We should be worried about an issue of Bachrim running through the glass to get the davening. Because the davening is so geschmack. but they wouldn't see it. They wouldn't. The glass is clear. They wouldn't know. They'd run through the glass. So they put the sign there. You should know that there's glass there. Why else would they put a sign on that glass? What does it mean a human being comes late to talk to his creator? What does it mean? What does it mean a human being oversleeps? Kabbalah Tomach HaShemayim. What does it mean? What does it mean a human being sits by Gomorrah and says, I'm bored? What does it mean that a person says Lashon Hara? What does it mean that a person doesn't aveira? What does it mean? How could it be? Why, are you an idiot? Now putting the most geschmack at stake in front of you and saying, this is not for me. The answer is you don't know that it's steak. Taste it. Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity to taste the steak. And if you taste the steak properly, so comes a Shabbat Shuva. What else would you be doing with your time? Comes at Tzom Gedalia. What else are you going to be doing with your time? Tzom Gedalia in the afternoon you have off. Listen, I'm not asking you guys shouldn't have free time. But like a person, you know, I would like to learn a Masechta. I would like to know a Masechta. I would like to chazer a Masechta. I would like to be able to say, wow, I know this Masechta. I really, it's geschmack. I chazer it once, I chazer it twice, I chazer it three times. Start knowing a Masechta. Knowing a Masechta. I read the Ayotzik about Manasseum because I can say I read all the words. I know a Masechta. I know 10 blat. I know 5 blat. I know it. I chazer it once, I chazer it twice, I chazer it three times, I chazer it 4 times, I chazer it 10 times. I know the Gemara backwards and forwards. And it starts all of a sudden tasting good. It doesn't taste good to you until you work at it. That's the pill of Torah. You have to live in the now. You can't live in the, I would love to know Shas. I like Karshav Shas, open my mind and stick Shas in. I'd be happy. Like, big surgery. They open brain surgery. They stick Shas. I'm asking. But sit by first Seder by Gemara for 5 minutes. I can't do it. A life-threatening surgery, I'm ready. Five minutes by Gemara, by the Gemara, hard. Because that's a fantasy. It's an actual kishmak, a fantasy. If it would be, they could make it like a... It's all fantasy. That's the dimion. That's the Yetzirah. This is life. Life is in the here and the now. And it's hard in the here and the now. But the more you do in the here and now, the more you live in the here and now, the more geschmack it is. And once you taste it once, how long are you able to taste it again? And taste it again. And taste it again. And then you look at yourself 3 months from now, 5 months from now, a year from now, and you're a different person. You're the person that much closer to the person that you want to be. That's the beauty of Rosh Hashanah. It can raise you above your puny existence which we have until now to a higher plane to get a better picture of what life is really supposed to look like and how geschmack that could be. We say to feel that tamu ru'u kitayvash.